From UALR Public Radio and the Argenta Arts Foundation, this is a Tales from the South Tin Roof Project.
I'm driving into the White House. I've heard lots of stories, rumor, legend about this grand mansion on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Recorded in front of a live audience at Starving Artist Cafe in the Argenta Arts District of North Little Rock, Arkansas.
I had the honor and the privilege to serve at the White House for 26 years, five families. And all the family I've served, regardless of where they belong, either donkey or elephant, make no difference to me. I serve them all the very same.
This week, it's an intimate dinner with a notable Southerner on our unrehearsed show, telling their story as if they were sitting on the porch with you.
They had 10 or 12 desserts that they would repeat. I did not operate that way. I'm known in the White House to have never created the same dessert twice in 26 years.
Welcome to a special two-part Tin Roof Project on Tales from the South with our guest, former White House pastry chef, Roland Mesnier. Part one is the chef telling his story, and part two is the question and answer portion. Both shows are available at talesfromthesouth.com. So sit back, relax, and reconnect with the power of a story. Now, let's go live to Tales from the South.
How's everybody doing today? So how about the music by the Salty Dogs? What y'all think? Y'all like the Salty Dogs? They have CDs for sale after the show, and more can be heard at thesaltydogs.net. All right, well, welcome to Starving Artist Cafe in the Argenta Arts District of North Little Rock, Arkansas, and to a very special edition of Tales from the South, a series we call the Tin Roof Project, where well-known Southerners bring their own true stories to life. Tales from the South is presented by the Argenta Arts Foundation and Temenos Publishing Company, and today's show is sponsored by William F. Lehman Public Library, all right here in North Little Rock, Arkansas. And I'm your host, Paula Morrell. On my left here, showing his 1931 National Resonator, is blues guitarist Mark Simpson. Mark wrote our theme music and plays for us live each show. And how about our set back here? What do y'all think about our set? These genuine screen doors from the Arkansas Delta with mixed media portraiture are by esteemed Arkansas artist V.L. Cox from her Images of the American South collection. A portion of the proceeds from the sale of these works goes to Tales from the South. More can be seen at her website, greatfineart.com. All right, are y'all ready for some Southern-style storytelling? Originally from the tiny village of Bonnet, France, Chef Roland Mesnier was hired in 1979 by First Lady Rosalind Carter, launching his career as White House Executive Pastry Chef. He went on to become the longest tenured chef ever to serve there under five presidents, Carter, Reagan, Bush, Clinton, and George W. Bush. Never content to sit still, on Roland's days off, from the White House, he developed and taught the first professional pastry arts program at L'Académie de Cuisine in Bethesda, Maryland, currently ranked in the top 10 culinary schools in the United States. Chef Mesnier has won 18 gold medals, 4 silver, and 3 bronze for his pastry creations in competitions around the world. He is a member of the Académie Culinaire de France and the recipient of many awards and accolades, which include the French Legion of Honor in 2005, the highest honor bestowed on a French citizen. That same year, he was inducted into the Chocolate and Pastry Hall of Fame in New York. He was awarded a Doctorate of Culinary Arts from the prestigious Johnson & Wales University in South Carolina. He is the author of 4 books, Dessert University, Basic to Beautiful Cakes, All the President's Pastries, 25 Years at the White House, a memoir, and A Sweet World of White House Desserts. While Chef Mesnier retired from the White House in 2004, he returned several times over the next 2 years to work on special projects for the Bush family. Since 2006, he has traveled in the United States and around the world giving speeches, judging pastry competitions, and participating in fundraising events and book signings, and much more. He and his wife moved to Virginia in 1976. He has been a Southerner ever since. We are thrilled to have Chef Roland Mesnier in North Little Rock for this very special show. Ladies and gentlemen, Chef Roland Mesnier.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's a real honor and pleasure to be back in Little Rock, Arkansas. This is my 4th visit here. I almost feel like I belong here. And I'm so proud to be called a Southerner also. What makes a city great? It's its people. Do not forget it. And you are the greatest there is. Anytime you go outside Washington, D.C., you meet the real American. And you are the reason why I left Europe 40 years ago. You are the very reason of that. I really mean it. I mean it. I'm not kidding. Because I just fell in love with this country. Do not speak ill about America to me, because I will become very ugly. I am not so good looking normally, but then I become ugly. Do you understand that? America is the best country in the world. I had the honor and the privilege to serve at the White House for 26 years, 5 family. And all the family I serve, regardless of where they belong, either donkey or elephant, make no difference to me. I serve them all the very same. And you learn to love every one of them as you go along, because you do get to know not only the president and first lady, but their families, their pet, everybody in the family. So you see, we really get very attached to these people. This is why we hate when the press beat on them. We hate that with a passion. And at the end, I will maybe tell you a little joke about that that illustrates very well what I'm saying to you now. Now I want to read a little bit from my newest book, A Sweet World of White House Dessert. This is a coffee table book. It's my legacy, is to leave behind me and show the world what was done in the White House during my 26 years. It wasn't done before, and is, I'm sorry to say, not done today. But that's the way it is. Now, you have to understand, I was born in a small village of France of 140 people, in a very large family of 9 children. We were raised with no electricity and no running water. You know, when we got clothes, we didn't go to Target, the French store. We didn't go to Kohl. We got clothes from kids to kids to kids. I was number 7 down the line. When I got a pair of underwear, I was lucky to get the elastic band. And you know, I wore my sister's underwear more than I care to remember. So do you understand now where I'm coming from? So I'm very proud of my time at the White House serving the elite of the world. So here it started. Early in the morning, on a cool day in December of 1979, I'm driving into the White House. I've heard lots of stories, rumor, legend about this grand mansion on Pennsylvania Avenue. But I have no personal knowledge of the place. I didn't have any idea what to expect. I am famous in the kitchen. I have worked and throughout Europe, the United States, for my coolness under pressure. So I am surprised at how anxious I feel. Maybe that's because this is why I took many wrong turns before getting to the Northwest Gate at the White House. As a Secret Service agent approached to ask me for identification, my heart beat a little faster. He takes my driving license into the guardhouse, then he returned. He opened the enormous metal gate and instructed me to drive slowly to the North Portico, where I am to park and walk a few steps up to the building. On my way through, I don't fail to notice a row of metal stars on the gate. Right away, it's in my file that using that particular design for dessert already. I already know before I get the job what I'm going to do. And those stars will be on dessert. And you will find them in this book with some very interesting story. Before I know, I am through the door and inside the White House. As I cross the threshold, I think about all the president and first lady and dignitaries who have walked up the same step through the same doorway. I try to take in the furniture, the painting, the fresh flower. And as I wait in the entry, very quickly I'm brought back to reality when a staff member tapped me on the shoulder and asked me to follow him to the kitchen, where I am to meet the chefs. Now I remember the real reason why I'm at the White House. Work. That's why I'm here. I am not a guest. I'm here to work. It is a busy day at the White House in the kitchen because the British Prime Minister, Mrs. Thatcher, is on official visit in Washington. So there is all the presentation in the White House, on the White House lawn that day. I had the honor and the privilege to observe all the pomps and things for Margaret Thatcher. So, you know, right away I start to see the White House on a different eye here. I see what's going on in that place. Now, I had no idea that it was going to be an interview for work, for me, actually, because I was invited to visit the White House. And here I am witnessing history by seeing what Margaret Thatcher being honored in the White House. Inside the White House, once again, I visit briefly with the food and beverage manager, who leave me to cool my heel in his office. Impatient because it is 4 hours drive back to my home, which at the time was the Homestead Hotel in Hot Spring, Virginia, where I started to work 4 years I was there, their pastry chef. And it took me 4 hours to go back there. So I was getting very anxious. I poked my head out of the door and asked someone if I can go home. Very unusual for someone who looks for a job. Just a little longer, they replied to me. After another hour, the phone rang in the office where I was waiting. And shortly after, I am informed that the First Lady, Rosalind Carter, wants to meet me. That was not in the card, ladies and gentlemen. Remember where I come from. In my little village of 140 people, there was no First Lady. We may have cow ladies, farm ladies, but there was no First Ladies. So needless to say, my heart beat a little faster. As a matter of fact, in the book, it says my heart stopped. So you'll decide which one it is. I was totally unprepared. I tell myself to calm down. Actually, I thought about having a drink. I don't really want his job anyway. I'm perfectly happy at the Homestead Hotel with my big pastry shop and capable staff. My wife and son love where we live. Everything is fine. Why come into Washington? I'm invited to go outside the office to meet the First Lady and her social secretary. Mrs. Carter received me with open arms, like I'd known her all my life. She called me by my first name, gave me a hug. Can you imagine to be hugged by the First Lady? You don't even know where you are. It's absolutely mind-blowing. Sometimes it's best to be numb, out of feeling of everything. Her friendliness and sincerity immediately put me at ease. The conversation with her is fun. With these two nice ladies, we walk to the map room on the ground floor of the mansion. Now when I see the map room, sometimes my pronunciation is not correct. It's not the map room, it's the map room, okay? I want to clarify that, where they have a lot of mop on the floor. It's not where they store the mop to mop the floor. So I want you to understand that. Sometimes you can, you know. So we were sitting on a beautiful red sofa. The First Lady on my right, the social secretary, was the late Gretchen Poston. And she was sitting on a red chair facing us. I enjoyed the ceremony for Prime Minister Thatcher and laughed out loud when describing how the wind blew her hat off. That is Mrs. Carter talking right now. So that put me even more at ease. Then we get down to business, and she asked me all sort of questions about my work. I show her photographs I'd brought along of some of my desserts that I'd made at the homestead and early on in my career. The chat took about 20 minutes. Then she asked me to return to the food and beverage manager's office while she conferred with the chief usher. The chief usher at the White House is considered like a general manager. Okay, the same, but they call it the chief usher. This time, I wait for just a few minutes before the usher, the general manager of official and domestic operation in the White House, come to tell me that Mrs. Carter has agreed to my salary request and want me to start as soon as possible. Now, at that time, my life changed totally. I mean, totally. I didn't know what to do. What am I going to do with this job? I have no idea what they request in a place like that. I work in a hotel all my life. During the 25 years I served as the pastry chef, I never took for granted the privilege and honor initially bestowed upon me by Mrs. Carter. On that chilly afternoon, I had the opportunity to prepare dessert for 5 presidents, their family, countless heads of states and VIPs. I tried to create something beautiful and unique for every occasion. I think it is fair to say that I changed people's expectation in the White House about my dessert. Now, explaining that is, previous pastry chef, they came to the White House, they had 10 or 12 desserts that they would repeat, and one or two floated on top, meaning they would request. I did not operate that way. I'm known in the White House to have never created the same dessert twice in 26 years. This book here represents 1% of my work. 1% of my work. So you understand that. It's a very small window. So this is why there was no special request. The president and first lady always expected something different every night. And this is how I was able to keep my job for 26 years. Every dessert that you will see in this book were created, made only once, not twice, never repeated. And they were designed for that particular occasion and particular head of states. The research were intense. I went through so many different channels before I would come down to one design that I would like. And then after we went into flavor, into many things. I mean, that was a huge, huge undertaking to do a dessert for a head of states. And you will see that in this book. This is why this book has no recipe in. Nobody is crazy enough to try to reproduce any of those. No chef is that crazy, except if you have the temperament like I have. And my philosophy on making dessert is the sky is the limit. As long as you breathe, the sky is the limit. And that's how I felt through every single dessert that you will see and enjoy in this book, plus the stories that goes with it. This book is a record of some of my most celebrated and interesting desserts, so we just say that I'm ahead of myself here, you see. It was actually extremely difficult to choose which dessert to feature in this book, because I had to balance the book between Republican and Democrat. We don't want to make any mad here. No jealousy, ladies and gentlemen. No jealousy, although there's some very interesting story. Would you believe that in my 26 years, I was able to create in a state dining room at the White House an atmosphere like they never saw and they will never see again. The Republican and the Democrat actually having good time together. Actually having good time together? When have you seen that happen? They usually cussing each other. Coley says, they loved it. I will not spoil it for you. It's in the book. It's in the book. And the story, I was blown away. I'm so proud of those 5 minutes that I've heard in the White House. They absolutely had a grand time. I will not talk about it. Now, just to say also, throughout my year in the White House, I paid deep attention to the need of our president first ladies, meaning their dessert every day, because they did that dessert every day, every meal, was tailored according to the politics of the day, the weather, everything. So we would always have a dessert there that they would really enjoy. And explaining that is, let's say if the president had a bad day and he's cold out there, you're not going to give him lemon sorbet for dessert. You understand that? But if he had a great day and it's a beautiful day, then you're going to create something very, something that reflects the joy of the day, the flavor of the day. So even though we wrote weekly menu, I changed them many, many times without telling them because I felt that was not the right thing to do. Because as you know, politics change like the wind. It's blown different ways in 5 minutes. But anyway, it's been such an honor and a privilege to serve there. And I think we're going to be talking a little bit more and taking some question, or you will grill me, as they say in the kitchen. I'll be glad to answer any. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are here to have fun today. I want to have fun, for God's sake. Don't take it away from me. And I'll answer any question about anything. I am so smart. I can answer question about food, about car problem, money problem, marital problem. Put it on the table, will you? I am game. And let me tell you, what I don't know, I'll make it up. I had the best teacher in the world for 26 years, for God's sake. So here I am. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
So how about our story and storyteller today? Thank you so much, Chef Roland Mesnier, for being on our Tin Roof Project on Tales from the South. More can be found about the chef and his books at chefrolandmesnier.com. Thank you to our live audience, and thank you to UALR Public Radio. Tales from the South is presented by the Argenta Arts Foundation and Temenos Publishing Company, and our official media sponsor is AY Magazine, Arkansas's leading lifestyle publication at aymag.com. Today's show is sponsored by William F. Lehman Public Library. Additional support provided by the North Little Rock Visitors Bureau and the Oxford American, the Southern Magazine of Good Writing. You can download and listen to our podcast on our website. More can be found at talesfromthesouth.com. Have a great day, and we'll see you next week at Starving Artist Cafe in the Argenta Arts District of North Little Rock, Arkansas, for another edition of Tales from the South. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this special two-part Tin Roof Project on Tales from the South. Part one is the chef telling his story, and part two is the question and answer portion. Both shows are available at talesfromthesouth.com. Writer accommodations provided by Robin Wood Bed and Breakfast. Studio time by Infrared Studio Productions. Graphics by Robin Steves at Studio B. Our executive producer and host is Paula Morrell. Our production engineer is Jay Jones. Thanks for helping keep the art of Southern style storytelling alive, and we'll see you next week, either on this station or at Starving Artist Cafe, for another edition of Tales from the South.